Welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm Augusto Perez, and Shalom. Today we continue through the School of the Holy Spirit and these two very exciting teaching series, Revelations Beyond the Veil and Messages from Beyond the Veil. Now, we have been sharing with you very important information in the last few weeks regarding the history of the feathered serpent, the history of Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan, and the feathered serpent is called by various different names in the different parts of the world, especially in the Americas. And all of these things are tied in to ancient history, and they're tied into the history, the story of Atlantis, which many people believe it is a fantasy, but I don't believe it is. It is. I believe it really existed. I have done some reading, some studying on that, and read some books. And from what I have read and found out, Atlantis did exist in the pre-civilization, if we can call it that. And the war between the fallen archons and the Almighty, and all of these things are basically all part of history. And if we are going to understand why certain things happen and why certain things exist, for example, why do the pyramids exist? What about the Sphinx? Who built these structures? And when? And they were built so perfectly, so accurately. I mean, stones weighing, tons and tons. How can anybody lift this? Today, even with the sophisticated equipment and powerful equipment that we have today, it would be almost impossible to lift some of those stones. So how did they do it? Did they use ancient technology? Did they use some kind of technology, anti-gravity technology, or were these structures lifted by extremely huge, beings, the Nephilims? There are so many questions surrounding this, and very few answers. Very few answers. The Bible does not provide answers for some of these questions, which is why you are never going to hear these kinds of topics spoken about in churches. When was the last time you heard a topic about the Nephilim or the Archons mentioned in churches? When was the last time you heard about any of these things? When was the last time you heard about an object out there, Nibiru, that is approaching the planet? Is already in our solar system, and it is affecting our planet, and it has affected other planets on its way in, and it has caused catastrophic calamities in times past. We already discussed all of these things in previous programs. If you have not listened to them, you should, so that you get some of this information under your belt, and you're better able to understand as we go on. Although each one of these programs is self-sufficient, in other words, it stands on its own, it does help to have some of this information. Now, these entities, the Anunnakis, okay, these fallen angels, and I'll be talking a little bit about this and some of the things, I will continue what I started last week. This is going to be part two. Very, very interesting stuff. Things that you probably have never heard before, and because I wasn't even aware of some of these things until the Lord started revealing these things to me. Okay? And as I was sitting there thinking about some of these things, the Lord started bringing back to my memory some of these experiences that he has given me. For example, in 2021, in October 1st, he gave me that experience, which I called the funeral. It's posted on our website. And in this vision of the night, I was in a funeral, but the key, and of course, the funeral was symbolic of the many people that were going to die. Many, many people that I knew were going to die, and many others were going to die because of this pandemic and you know, all the stuff associated with it, which we have talked about before, the jabs and so forth. But I was shown this, but then I was shown another thing, which I believe was the key to this whole experience, which was I saw a manuscript, or should I say several manuscripts bound together. And when I approached to look at it, because it caught my attention in my spirit, I saw this man, right, which I have seen before in the visions of the night, and he approached me and asked me, "Do you know what this is?" And without thinking about it, I knew the answer in my spirit. And so I said it right away, the revelation of Jesus Christ. So he nodded, approving that that was correct. And as I began to read the contents of the manuscript, I began to see things that I had never seen before there. And one of the things that I read that jumped out at me, it was highlighted in bold letters, was the end times, and the end times revival is not going to be like people think. And many of the things that I saw there were veiled from me after I woke up, after I came back out of that vision of the night. But it seems like now the Lord is beginning to bring them back piece by piece, bit by bit. And this is what I believe happened on May 13th when he gave me that other experience that I talked about in the last podcast of Revelations Beyond the Veil. And this is something very, very interesting, and I will get into it in a moment. I will get into it in a moment, okay? Before I get there, I want to share that these entities, okay, this Anunnaki, which are like the, if you will, some say they're like the Nephilims, and they come together. They're like the race of giants, the Anunnaki, okay? And then you have what is called the Watchers, the Archons, which are the Nakash, which are the seraphim angels, the dragon angels that were banished from the upper heavens by Michael and his angels. And so this order of angels is mentioned in the book of Enoch as being the dragon serpents, the dracones. And of course, we know that dragons is mentioned in the Bible, and we have seen a lot of fantasy movies about dragons and all of these things. And many times I wonder when I was a child growing up, where do these dragons come from? Where are they? Who are they? How come we've never seen one? And of course, in the Bible, it is mentioned, you know, the dragon is mentioned as the old serpent. They're synonymous, the old serpent, the dragon. And you know, the dragons breathe fire. So all of these things, I talked about it in two or three podcasts ago. You need to go back and listen to it. Sometimes, you know, these podcasts do not seem like the people are interested in it, because he may be talking about areas that they, you know, they don't think it's important, but it is important, trust me, to get a full understanding of everything that is going to happen. And sometimes I do lay a foundation, and some people may think it is tedious, and some may think it is boring. All right. I'll accept that, whatever you want to think of it. But the fact of the matter is that it is important information, and there is a reason why I'm sharing it. There is a reason why I'm sharing these things. There is a reason why the Holy Spirit has me sharing these things with you. Okay? I'm not capricious. I don't do things because I want to do it. I am led by the Spirit of the Lord most of the time, not all the time. My wife will tell you, not all the time. But again, I have to live. I am a human being. I eat and eat and take a shower and need rest like everybody else. But when I am ministering the Word of God, I am led by the Holy Spirit. And I am anointed. That means set apart for this purpose. Because the Almighty set me apart when I was very, very, very small. So I'm just trying to tell you, you need to go back and listen to some of these things. And one of these programs I did, I talked about the Nakash, I talked about the seraphims, and I talked about how these beings were a class of angelic beings created by the Most High. And these are the ones that have six wings, the seraphims, okay, which I call also the seraphs. And these are referred to in the Book of Enoch and other apocryphal and pseudepigraphal books as the dracones, the dragons. And these were the class of angels, okay, that rebelled against the Most High, that followed Satan. Remember, Satan was one of them. And the angels that followed him were the seraphims. And then, of course, others joined in. Other ranks of angels joined in. But in the Hebrew, the Nakash translates the shining ones, okay? And so the Anunnaki, now, is a different thing. The Anunnaki, for those of you that maybe are new at this or do not understand, the Anunnaki are basically the Nephilims. They're nobody knows what they look like. There have been some that have said that they saw some of these Anunnaki in suspended animation in certain caves in Iraq. But anyway, they never came back out to, they never were really able to. These were just rumors, okay? Now, at the present time, this Anunnaki are trying to alter humanity genetically. And I will talk a little bit about that. That's the mark of the beast. They're trying to make human beings something other than humans. And they will say, and they will tell people that these things are being done for the advancement of, or the betterment of humanity. And these experiments are going to help humanity to, you know, to become better, to not get sick as much, to be healed of diseases that are incurable, and, you know, to be stronger, to be smarter, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. However, these tests and these things that are being done, okay, on humanity, many times without them even knowing what is going on, which was the case with the jab. And this has happened before that many, many times in different parts of the world. They have been sprayed and they have been tested like guinea pigs. And the whole purpose of this is to keep humanity oppressed so that they can control the planet and its resources. That has always been the plan. And so, excuse me. These experiments always serve to bring humanity under control, to dumb humanity down, to eliminate a large portion of humanity, and make humanity easier to manage and control. Now, most people in the world today deny that this even exists. Even when they are given incredible amounts of evidence, which kind of tells us how successful these people have been in hiding, in concealing their true identity. in concealing who they really are and their presence in the world. So regardless of whether people believe in this or not, soon all the people of the world will be forced to acknowledge their presence. And they will be forced, everyone alive will be forced to discern whether this presence is malevolent or benevolent to our existence. You will have to decide on your own. And this is the reason why you need to have discernment. This is the reason why, more than ever before, you need to be close to God. You need to be filled with His presence, and you need to have a daily walk with Him so that His Spirit will lead you. His Spirit will open your eyes and your ears to see and hear the truth, because the truth will make you free. Jesus Christ, Yeshua, said that. So, these rebel angels, the archons, throughout history, they were able to put together, institute many kingdoms throughout the world where they established their own hybrid seed lines, okay, as vicars to the gods. They were the, if you will, the intermediaries, the vicars to the gods, the representatives. They did this as a way of controlling, manipulating conflict, and as a way to establish their strategy, which is an old diabolical Luciferian strategy of dividing and conquer. So, when trying to discern the truth, you have to be careful to not fall under the influence of the historical accounts of those cultures that were under the influence of the fallen watchers. This is why you have to know the Word of God. You have to know the Word of God inside and out. This is why you have to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. This is why I do not recommend that you get into reading any of these materials that I mentioned, unless you have already read the Word of God, read the Bible, you have a relationship with the Most High. Okay, then once you do that, once you have that, then you're able to read some of these other materials and then be able to assess what is and what is not truth and what is of and what is not of God. Because you have exercised your senses in the discerning of good and evil. So, many of these civilizations, remember I shared with you that when the Almighty, after the Tower of Babel, He basically assigned 70 of those Elohims that were in the Council of Heaven, He assigned them to head these nations. And they were supposed to lead the nations and protect the nations and lead them to righteousness and bring them under the governance and the kingdom of God. But however, instead of doing that, a lot of them did not do that. And so they aligned themselves with the evil one. And therefore, in many of those nations, they began to worship gods. They began to worship this gods with a little g. And this is where you find, in many of these nations, where you find the worship of the serpent. I mean, you travel throughout Central and South America especially, and also you go to Africa and many of those other places, and you're going to find, the religion there among the natives that worship these entities. I have been to some of these places, and I have seen the engravings on the wall, and I have been taught there by the natives there that they believe, in the feathered serpent, the And we talked about this. We talked about this in previous programs, so I'm not going to go again and rehearse that in your ears. Go back and listen to it. Quetzalcoatl, Kukulcan, all of these different civilizations believed in the serpent, and they called them by different names. And many of them called them the feathered serpent. So those civilizations, they referred to these entities and depicted them as those who from heaven came to earth. They came as deliverers of wisdom and bringers of civilizations. And so many of these were, civilizations were organized with a intent and purpose of confusing the people and to hide the truth of the Son of the Living God, Yeshua, the Messiah, what he did to bring salvation to humanity. And so many of these cultures were receded, okay, by beings from the heavens after the flood. And that is how they became involved with the human sacrifice, blood rituals, cannibalism, etc. And so many of this culture, more often than not, they were established by Lucifer and the fallen angels, okay? And this is why in the Bible, the Word of God refers to these practices as abominable. Abominable. In Leviticus 18:21, thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire of Moloch. Neither shall you profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Leviticus 18:21. Leviticus 18:19-11. When you are coming to the land which the Lord your God gives you, you shall not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any that makes his son or daughter pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, a wizard, or a necromancer. So, all of these things are written in the Bible. And if you read the Word of God at face value without reading, without knowing any of these other things that I'm sharing with you, and I have shared with you, of course, you will know the commandments. And you will know that is not good. That's the Almighty forbade that. He commanded them humanity not to do those things. But you will not understand why. You will not understand the origins of all of these things. And so this is where the pseudepigraphal and apocryphal text are. That's where they come in, and they. They explain and they fill in the blanks of this account of Genesis 6, which is very vague, where the fallen angels became a part of humanity and they intermarried with the daughters of men. So there are multiple places from many, many sources that reveal the very same exact story that is related by Enoch. And without knowledge of who the fallen watchers were, without knowledge of how the behavior of their giant children ties in with the flood, we simply have no way of comprehending the ancient world around us. And we will definitely not be able to understand what those forces were that we're responsible for the evil that is found in the world then and now, today, until the harvest of the end of days. If you don't understand these things, you will not be able to understand many other scriptures that I will be sharing with you in this program and upcoming programs as the Holy Spirit continues to reveal these things to me. At the time of judgment, the righteous elect will receive everlasting life and replace the rebel angels that are fated for destruction held not their first date, but decided instead to go whoring after the daughters of men. And this is where the book of Enoch tells us that evil is not natural, it's not a normal thing. And that those responsible for that evil have only been given a certain amount of time to exist and to do those things. And when that allotted period of time has passed, the Almighty will send his son, Jesus, Yeshua, to judge the sins of the world in what is known as the final harvest. I'll be sharing about that today. Many people maybe listen to this today and they think it is kind of a new age or too way out there to have a basis in reality. But these things that I'm sharing with you, precious people, are in the Bible all over the place. And if you look at the book of Jude, which, by the way, the book of Jude was one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. He had access to the book of Enoch. If you read the book of Jude, read the book of Jude, chapter 1, verse 6 to 9 and 13 to 15. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not. And the angels which kept not their first state, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. Even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, given themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars. Notice how he calls them wandering stars. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, see here he quotes Enoch. This is in the New Testament, the book of Jude. He quotes Enoch. He read the book of Enoch. He had access to the book of Enoch. Those of you that say the book of Enoch should not be read and it is false. Apostle Jude had access to the book of Enoch, and he quoted it here. I continue. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches, which ungodly sinners have spoken against them. And then in 2 Peter 2:5-9, for if God spare not the angels that sin, but cast them down to hell and deliver them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, save Noah, this eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overflow, making them an example unto those that should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for the righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. And then finally, I've read that before. Ephesians. Just read the book of Ephesians, because it's all there. The battle we are waging is not against flesh and blood. Okay. Now, as I was sharing before, these angel seraphims. Okay. These are the ones that are referred to in the book of Revelation that I mentioned last week, the last podcast of Revelations Beyond the Veil. that spoken thereof in Revelation chapter 4 and chapter 5. Okay? And in the King James, they're referred to as the beasts. Okay? And so these entities, they're called the Shining Ones. Many believe that this was the Nakash. The Nakash was a seraphim, probably Lucifer or another one. And it's not a little snake, but in the sense that, you know, and I explained that to you also, you need to go back and listen to it. It was not always a snake that crawls on its belly. He had arms. He had feet. He could walk like a human being. So this Nakash now was condemned by the Lord to eat the dust of the earth. That was the curse that the Almighty put on the serpent. And so when we go on and study these things, we're going to find out that they're referred to in many parts of the world. These serpents are referred to as shapeshifters. Now, there's also many legends among the Native Americans here in the U.S., in America, and in Central and South America, they refer to as shapeshifters, okay? And they were serpents. They were these Nakash, but they appeared to men as men. And they could walk around like men, and only they could take this form, for a time, and they were not able to be discerned, okay, only by certain things. And one of the things that helped to cause them to that disrupted how their appearance was the sound waves. And only by sound could their real faces be seen. Now, these things, of course, cannot be confirmed, cannot be vetted, but there are legends, and many times legends are based on truth. So, in studying the roots of this serpent worship around the world, you're going to find out that this is repeated over and over and over again. How these serpents were worshipped as gods, as fallen angels, and how the cultures that worshipped them received knowledge, okay, to advance their civilization, like Quetzalcoatl and Kukulcan. And so these roots of serpent worship existed even before the flood, even before the creation of humanity. And after the flood, the descendants of Ham, specifically the Canaanites, were responsible for the reintroduction or reinstitution of serpent worship, idolatry, and reverence of these entities as the benefactors of humanity. Okay, and so this is how things happen. Now you can read this in the Book of Jubilees. The Book of Jubilees, chapter 8. Let me read that portion. And he found a writing which former generation had carved on the rock, and he read what was thereon, and he transcribed it and sinned owing to it, for it contained the teaching of the watchers in accordance with which they used to observe the omens of the sun, the moon, and the stars in all the signs of heaven. And he wrote it down and said nothing regarding it. For he was afraid to speak to Noah about it, lest he should be angry with him on account of it. And so these Nakash, are the fallen angels known to us as the seraphims. They are referred to as the dragons of old, which kept not their first state. The children of Ham were punished by the reptilian beings that they had worshipped for their rebellion. And I mean, all of these things ties into the Egyptian gods, the people of Egypt, how they worship serpents as their god. And I mean, I could just go on and on and on, but it would just be same thing. And so the locust army referred to in the book of Joel and referred to also in the book of Revelation, chapter 9, we'll be talking about it in a moment, serve as a repeat of the incident that these Anunnaki star gods used to punish the people that disobeyed them. And these serpents were sent against the children of Ham as punishment, were not snakes in the traditional sense of the word, but they were a locust army. And so this locust army that is referred to in the book of Revelation and in the book of Joel, okay, they are supernatural beings. And there's a lot there. You connect the dots. I'm just giving you some things. You do your own connecting the dots because there's so much. And there's another scripture, another portion here from the Wisdom of Solomon. The Wisdom of Solomon, it says, the serpents were sent against the children of Ham as punishment, were not snakes in the traditional sense of the word, as in Akash of Genesis 3, was not a simple snake. The serpents of the locust army will in return for their foolish and wicked thoughts, which led them astray to worship irrational serpents and worthless animals, thou didst send upon them a multitude of irrational creatures to punish them, and they might learn that one is punished by the very things by which he sins. For thy all-powerful hand, which created the world out of formless matter, did not lack the means to send upon the multitude of bears and bull lions, newly created unknown beasts full of rage, or such as breathe out fiery breath, or belch forth a thick pall of smoke, or flash horrible sparks from their eyes. Not only could they exterminate them, but the mere sight of them could kill by fright. That's from the Wisdom of Solomon 11. So Solomon speaks of these serpentine beings, that they were able to, breathe out fire, which is where, you see all those fantasy movies about dragons breathing out fire. And so, that's where that comes from, folks. That's where that comes from. Have you ever wondered where those things come from? Now you know. So the locust army of Revelation 9 is there, and we're gonna be talking about this a bit. And this is why the children of Ham were punished, like I was saying before, during the Exodus, by this type of entities, this type of things. And these supernatural beings, are called beasts, like I shared last week, are called beasts. And let me share something with you, because it is very, very interesting here. And there's a place in Africa, no matter how many countries you go in Africa there, but there is a man there called his name Credo Mutwa. And he has done some interviews. You can look him up. And he alludes to Satan, this man. He's from Africa. His father was Christian. His mother was a Zulu. And he alludes to Satan as being a serpent, an enchanter, much like the Nakash. And one of the things that this man said in one of his interviews was that when these entities arrived in Africa, they told the people that they were gods and that they were going to give the human beings great gifts on one condition, that they had to worship them and accept them as the creators. And some told the people that they were our elder brothers. And then they said that they were going to make us into gods. Now, does that ring a bell? Does that sound familiar to you? Isn't that the same lies that were told to Eve and Adam? So in many parts of Africa, when you go there, you're going to find these African tribes, and they're going to tell you that they are descendants from the gods that came out of the skies thousands of years ago. They're going to believe in that feathered serpent. Same thing. Isn't it interesting? Huh? Isn't it interesting? On the other side of the world, in a different country, people that have never met each other, different civilizations, they believe exactly pretty much the same thing. And so they said that these creatures, the ones that came from the sky, were non-human, and they had scaly creatures. They were scaly, very frightening, very ugly. And some of them said that they looked like crocodiles with teeth and jaws, round heads. Some said they had the heads like snakes. These gods came from the skies. And so these are the entities that taught them many, many things, they claim. And according to many of these legends from both from Africa and South America and Central America, this god had the ability to change their shapes at will. Shapeshifters. They had the ability to assume the shape and appearance of any creature on earth if they had a reason to do so. And so, like I shared with you before, in South and Central America, the feathered serpent is called Quetzalcoatl. The Zulus over there in Africa, they call them Yanlondo. And also all in other parts of Africa, they call them the Chaturi. But they all describe them exactly the same way. And so the Yonlodlo, according to the description that Credo Mudwa has given in some of his interviews, sounds pretty much like the South American Quetzalcoatl. And and it sounds exactly the same how they gave them technology, gave them all kinds of knowledge, just like in Genesis 6 and in the book of Enoch. So again, you're going to see this repeat itself over and over and over and over again all over the different cultures of the world, especially in the Central and South America, Africa, places like that. And there's a tribe called the Dogon tribe, and also talks about this. And another very interesting thing here that I was reading, I found out, was that one of the things that this man Credo Mudwa said was that the Atlanteans had become involved with the serpent-like interdimensional beings, and that these beings, they were described as the sons of Belial, or the sons of darkness. Now, when I read that, it kind of struck something in my spirit, because I have read that in the scriptures before, many times. There are many parts of scripture that talk about the sons of Belial. Look it up. Look it up. It's there in the scriptures. It's there in the Bible, in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, he talks about the sons of Belial. Now, I never understood what this meant until I read this, doing this research that I'm doing, sharing with you. In the book of Judges, chapter 19, verse 22, it says, And there were certain sons of Belial beset the house there and beat the door and spoke to the master of the house, no man, saying, bring forth the man that came in the house that we may know him. Okay? Now, this is similar to what happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, remember? Yeah. Interesting. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 12. Now, the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. Did you know that? That the sons of Eli, the prophet, were sons of Belial? Incredible. Preacher's kids, they turned to the devil. 2 Samuel 23, 6, but the sons of Belial shall be all of them as thorns thrust away, because they cannot be taken with hands. 1 Kings 21, 10, and set two men, the sons of Belial, before him to bear witness against him, saying, thou did blaspheme against God and king, and carry him out and stone him, that he may die. Anyway, these sons of Belial are also referred to as the sons of darkness, and taught them this, these entities taught them the ritual of the stargates and the higher dimensional doorways and the releasing, you know, all kinds of things into the world that affects us to this day. And so these sons of Belial are alive today. They're alive. These are the people. Many of these people are the ones that are in control of the world today. Let me hurry up because time is a ticking. Now, I want to bring you to, as we're coming to the close, I want to bring you now to, because there, I mean, there's so much going on here that I just can't possibly give it all to you in one setting. But there is one of the things that I wanted to share with you was that we talked about last time. We talked about the mark of the beast. We talked about Revelation 9. And one of the things that I wanted to share with you is the fact that these things that I share with you that the Lord told me is about to happen, and when I saw about the mark of the beast, and I shared with you last week that these entities, the seraphims in Revelations chapter 4 and 5 are mentioned as beasts. This is who they are. These are the seraphims, the fallen ones, not the ones that are there now, the fallen ones, which a lot of them were the ones that followed Lucifer, Satan. Okay? Now, one of the things I wanted to share with you is the fact that these are the ones, these are the entities that are going to bring in the mark, and it's going to be called the mark of the beast. And the reason it's called the mark of the beast is because it is coming from the beast. And also Revelation chapter 13 verse 18 says, here is wisdom, let him that has understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, God created everything, right? God created man, and God made everything with his sound, with the sound of his voice, with frequency. One of the things that these people are doing is they're jamming the frequency so that people cannot be able to communicate with the Most High. They have been doing that already with the 4G and 5G. A lot of the Christians believe that the third temple, okay, and they believe that the temple that is going to be built in Jerusalem, that is going to be the, you know, the key thing happening in the end times, and that's when the Antichrist is going to go in there and he's going to sit in the temple and he's going to basically make himself God, when that is not at all what is going to happen. That is not it at all. And they're talking about the red heifer and all and on, on and on they go. And they have the people deceived into believing these things, while what is really going on is they're really building that third temple. They're really building that temple where the Antichrist is going to rule. And it means something different than people realize. The The Word of God tells us in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, and 1 Corinthians 3:16, what the temple of God is. The temple of God is our body. Most people have no clue about this. And when they read 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 5, when they read that, basically they, you know, they believe that that is, you know, the temple in Jerusalem. But that is not in fact at all. Let me read that real quick. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. And 1 Corinthians 3:16, let's read that real quick. And we read there, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells within you. So the Word of God tells us that we are the temple of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And so what this entity is going to do, the mark of the beast is going to do, is going to make the Antichrist is going to make the people become his temple. He's going to sit in his temple, in the temple of the Most High. You understand now? Our bodies. The mark of the beast has to do with the DNA. The human body, we have 46 pairs of chromosomes, 22 and 22. Okay? 22 and 22. 44 pairs in humans. And then the two are for X and Y, for male or female. All right? Now, Adam had 44 chromosomes. Eve was then taken from the rib of Adam. It's very interesting. I heard someone say this, that there is such a, in science, there's what's called the ribonucleic acid. The first three letters are rib. Could it be that the Almighty took that particle, a part of Adam's DNA, He didn't actually take a rib, but a part of Adam's rib and DNA, his ribonucleic acid, the DNA. Okay, and that's how he made Eve. He made Eve out of the DNA of Adam, which is totally, that's exactly what happened, right? So what Satan wants to do is to create three-strand DNA in humanity, or a humanity made up of three-strand DNA. Okay? So two strands of the 22 pair of DNA equals 44, plus the X and Y equals 46. Now, a three-strand DNA that they want to make is 3 times 22 is 66. Okay? So 3 times 22 is 66. 3, 6. Okay? 6 times 6 is 36. And so this is kind of a little kind of back and forth number, but it is very interesting that 3 pairs of 22 chromosomes equals 66. So the elite, these entities, which are the descendants of the Nakash, right? The descendants of the Nakash, and also the descendants of the Anunnaki, they're both here. They want to add an extra 22 base pairs and make up the DNA programmable nanotechnology. So this people, okay, they want to add another pair of, you know, a third strand of DNA, making it, you know, 66. And so that would be 3 times 22 equals 66. It's very interesting that the Skull and Bones, if you look at the logo, it has a 322 underneath. Interesting. I thought it was very interesting. which is a symbol for the triple DNA helix. Of course, we know that the Queen Elizabeth, the Queen of England, before she died, did a mysterious ceremony with a triple helix, lighting up the tree of life. Also very interesting that in the book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 22, look what it says there. Very, very interesting. The book of Genesis, chapter 3, verse 22, is, there are no coincidences, folks. It says, "And the Lord God said, Behold, the man is become as one of us, to know good and evil. Now, lest he put forth his hand and take also of the tree of life and eat and live forever." Okay? So there in Genesis 3:22, it talks about the tree of life. And this is very interesting that this is what Queen Elizabeth, the Queen of England, did before she died. So very, very interesting. Also very interesting is that 66 plus 6 equals 72, okay? Or that makes 666, 66 plus 6. That makes 72, and there are 72 bricks in the pyramid in the back of the dollar bill. So in the book of Revelation chapter 13, it says the mark of the beast has to be calculated. And it says it's the number of man, because man has 22, you know, 22, two pairs of 22 chromosomes, right? And then it's changed into a beast. So it's the number of a man, and yet it's the number of a beast. And many times I wonder, I say, how can it be both? Well, that's how it is both. It is the number of a man. It's a man has... two pairs of 22 chromosomes, 44 plus the X and Y, making it 46. They want to add another pair of 22 chromosomes, making it 66, making it a totally different DNA, alien DNA. Okay? Now, whether angelic, whether fallen angel DNA will be used to do this, I don't know. But it could, maybe it could, Or it could just be transhumanism. At any rate, it will be the mark of the beast of this seraphim, which was Lucifer. Lucifer was the anointed cherub. So seraphims are the angels referred to as the beast several times in the book of Revelation. Okay? And so this is something that is very, very interesting, very, very fascinating, if you will, if you understand this, if you're able to understand what this is all about. I have so much more to share with you, but it's not going to be on this program. We have already had some interruptions. And so this is going to be the key to understanding the mark of the beast, the triple helix DNA, making 22 plus 22 plus 22, 66 base pairs. And this is going to be what the elite want. They want to bring in an extra 22 base pairs made up of DNA and programmable nanotechnology, or it could be alien technology, or it could be both, for control, along with transhumanism, for downloading into our consciousness. So there you have it, folks. I have much more to share. It's not going to be on this one. It's going to be on the next one. Make sure you don't miss it. Okay? Until next time, this is Augusto Perez with Revelations Beyond the Veil. God bless. Shalom.